Well, here it is, the last podcast of 2022. Every year I do a year-end wrap-up episode of the podcast. Essentially, I put a question sticker up on my Instagram and I ask, what are the top things that you've learned from the Derm Vet podcast this year? And there's a lot of common themes whenever I do the question sticker, and we have some really good ones this year. So essentially, I'm going to read kind of a question or a statement that really summarizes a bunch of statements that came in. So kind of the top variations we had of certain subjects, but I'll just read kind of one of the main questions or statements that came in for that. So number one, top things we learned in from the Derm Vet podcast that hopefully you all learned, no shocker, no surprise, has to do with cytology. And this person wrote, cytology can really change your derm practice. You just have to start. And of course, I could not agree anymore. As we have talked about many times on the podcast, cytology is our lab work. If you had a pet who came in and they just were punky, lethargic, and not acting like themselves, one of the first things you probably do is blood work, urine, some sort of lab work. And that doesn't mean you always get your answer. Maybe it rules out some things like there's no signs of renal disease or hepatic disease. And cytology is essentially our lab work for dermatology. It rules things in, it rules things out, it guides us to other diagnostics. So it really is our minimum database. And it's something you want to get really confident, which you can do really quickly. So practice on, you know, pets that are sedated for radiographs, practice on pets who are anesthetized for dentals, anesthetized for spays or neuters, because they're still, and you can really practice, and you'll be surprised how many infections you might find that owners didn't even realize. And you don't have to charge for it. You can just practice a technique so that when you do get that, you know, bouncy pet or the lab that won't stop moving and grooving, that you'll have that technique down where you feel more confident. And as we've talked about on many episodes of the podcast, you don't have to do every form of cytology collection. Find out what really suits you, whether it's tape, direct impression smear, swab. There's so many different ways that we can collect cytology. You really just want to get comfortable with what feels good to you, or you feel like you get the right samples. Remember, you can always recollect if your sample didn't seem to match what you're visually seeing. Also remember that you do not have to feel like you have to recognize everything, say, a clinical pathologist or dermatologist would recognize under the microscope. I've said it many times, but as long as you can recognize bacteria, yeast, or weird, you are going to be able to use cytology in most of your cases in a way that's really beneficial for that case. Because it's bacteria, you know, we either treat topically, we treat systemically if it's really called for. If they're not responding, maybe you culture. If it's yeast, we treat that way. But even if you can at least see yeast and you know not to do a bacterial culture, or if it's weird, you don't know what it is, but you're not seeing a lot of infection, but that pet's really crusty, well, then biopsy or refer to a dermatologist. So you still can use cytology in lots of ways, and you can really enhance your ability to recognize bacteria and yeast very quickly. You just have to start, as this person wrote. So cytology is something we want to do day after day when we're doing these cases for skin and ears, so we can be appropriate with our therapy, medications, and further diagnostics. Number two thing that popped up about what you've learned from the Derm Vet podcast in 2022. Cats are not small dogs. We hear this all the time. And this person wrote, cats are not small dogs, including with derm. Definitely. Cats, if we think about cat allergies, they're so weird, right? I mean, if we think about a dog, you know, there's variations, of course, but most of them like lick their paws, chew, get infections, scratch. Cats can do anything from licking, chewing, getting infections, to eosinophilic granulomas, eating away their face, to feline asthma. Like, they're just really interesting with their disease process if they're allergic. You know, we definitely want to be ruling out things like flea allergies in cats. I mean, dogs definitely for sure as well, but cats, I mean, so many cats come in and they'll just be tearing themselves apart, not seeing fleas, indoor cats only, and we can get them under control with really good quality flea prevention, like an isoxazoline. So we just want to make sure, that we are actually making these cats comfortable. But they are different. You know, the way they present's a bit different. The therapies we have are different. And, you know, they're a little behind the eight ball as far as the medication options we have for them. And that's what we just have to navigate and deal with. So we don't want to miss those easy wins like the flea control, the food, things like that. But, you know, cyclosporin, steroids, immunotherapy, maybe off-label use of Apoquil, though we have to be cautious with that, are all things that we can try in these cats. But they're very unique. We know if you have a weird lesion, don't just assume it's an eosinophilic granuloma. You know, look for other lesions, look for eosinophils on your cytology, as we talked about, which of course you're going to do. Biopsy. I have had to biopsy eosinophilic granulomas where I am not sure that we are dealing with an allergic cat because of how severe the disease is on their face. I've had cats where I think, oh my gosh, is this going to be like a squamous cell carcinoma because they've been so invasive? And they're not all like that, but it certainly can happen. Another thing, thinking about pemphigus. So another big thing I mentioned with cats is if they have really significant purulent debris in their claw folds, it is pemphigus until proven otherwise. And that is not the case for dogs, right? We see lots of bacterial paronychia from allergies in dogs, and you can see that with cats, but more often than not, it's a very unique form or clinical sign of pemphigus that they get, or lots of paronychia, which is inflammation within the claw fold, and then lots of purulent debris. And honestly, to me, they're pemphigus until proven otherwise. I've had some that ended up being bacterial, but so many of them end up being pemphigus. And we don't really see that in dogs. You know, they tend to be more crusted all over their paw pads, their nasal plenum, crusting throughout the trunk. But we don't tend to just see purulent debris at the claw folds. So we do have to recognize that the dermatologic signs we are seeing in dogs and cats are different. It's no different. Cats are not small dogs, and that includes dermatology. So I love that. Number three, dermatologists manage more than allergies. Not every itchy dog is allergic. Yes, 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 yes. Now, don't get me wrong. I manage a whole heck of a lot of allergies during the day. Lots of ear infections, lots of pyoderma, a lot of allergies. But we don't want to assume that every itchy pet, including cats, but especially itchy dogs, are allergic because they don't have to be. I have seen pemphigus dogs tear themselves apart. I have seen epitheliotropic lymphoma dogs tear themselves apart. You know, we still manage a lot of endocrinopathies. So I had an internist on earlier this year where we talked about hypothyroidism, hyperadrenal corticism. And we as dermatologists manage those diseases too, because we often see pyoderma that's not responding to therapy or keeps coming back despite them being on allergy medication. It's because it was an allergy, or at least not the whole problem was allergy. So, you know, it is a very fun specialty where we do get to manage, though primarily allergies, we do get to manage a lot of cool things like autoimmune, you know, even neoplastic, endocrinopathies. We get to manage the infections. There's topicals we use. There's parasiticides we use, foods, pharmaceuticals, diagnostic testing. You know, we get to make immunotherapy. We get to do skin testing. So there's so many cool things that video otoscopy, like I just keep going on and on. Obviously, this is why I do this. But there's so many things that we get to do in dermatology. And it is a lot of allergies, but not everything is allergic. So we have to make sure if we see a pet who's really infected, you know, treat the infection, but then really take a look at that pet. Dive into the history. What's the age of the pet? When did this start? What's affected? I've had pets referred to me for, you know, non-responsive allergies, and it'll be an old boxer with huge like nodules on its side, and it's actually some form of cancer. So just kind of take a second to really look at the history, the signalment, the age. I mean, it's no different than anything else that you guys would manage in the clinic. All of those things matter. Number four, do not give up on an antipruritic drug without managing infection. Yes. I mean, clearly this is the podcast I do and you guys are telling me what you've learned from it, but everyone I'm like, yes, 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 yes. You know, say it for the people in the back. Do not give up on an antipruritic drug. I mean, I see it all the time. We did great on Apoquil for a year. All of a sudden, licking and chewing their paws and not responsive anymore. They must be quote unquote immune to it, or it doesn't work anymore. And I'm not saying that can't happen. Certainly, we do get cases that progress with their allergies and it might not work as much anymore. Or maybe they develop something completely different, like an endocrinopathy, and they're getting infections. But we do not want to give up on really good quality anti-itch therapy like Apoquel, Cytopoint, Cyclosporin if it's just because an infection has occurred and we haven't identified it. And that's often what we see is they get referred because they did great on a drug and then all of a sudden it's not working anymore, but no one's done cytology or appropriately managed their infection. And so what I always tell owners is let's get through this infection first. Let's make sure when we recheck them and check under the microscope because we repeat our cytology to make sure the infection's gone microscopically. Let's evaluate then, because a lot of times what happens is you completely treat the infection. All of a sudden the owners say, oh, they're great. Flares happen. I mean, my own allergic dog just got over a bout of pyoderma. I mean, flares happen. It's just kind of part of managing a chronic disease process with so many different layers like atopic dermatitis. So it's something that we want to make sure we're not putting in that owner's mind, oh, they're just no longer an Apoquel dog. They're no longer a Cytopoint dog because all of a sudden they broke with infection or all of a sudden they're itchy and we didn't identify it. You know, do the due diligence, refer them if you don't feel comfortable and you're not sure if something else has popped up, but just make sure we're doing cytology and managing those infections, you know, getting out those toothpicks to do clawfold cytology. If you're worried about licking and chewing to the paws, that maybe is not responsive. Because remember, we find a lot of clawfold infections, especially in dogs with their allergies that are difficult to visualize or can be overlooked. So before we just say, hey, you're not a dog, cat that responds to this medication, manage the infection. Because a lot of times once owners have in their mind that that doesn't work, even if it's because there's a rip-roaring Malassezia infection that just didn't get treated, they're really hesitant to go back on it. So that's why we want to make sure we're doing that minimum database, we're checking for infection before we decide that that pet's moved on from that drug and it's no longer effective for them. Okay, number five, our last one, and this is going to be more on a personal level because I had quite a few people reach out and write this on the question sticker. Thank you for showing up despite the unexpected burden you have had to carry this year. And you know, this is something, so I usually do this end of the year podcast with my husband. And unfortunately with our two young kids and the craziness of, our house and getting them to bed and everything tonight, he didn't get to join me, but he's here in spirit. But as many of you probably know, if you kind of follow me on social media, our three-year-old son earlier this year was diagnosed with leukemia. And it was definitely something that came out of nowhere, as is true for every pet, her parent that has to deal with a child that has cancer. And, you know, I've had to step back and reduce some of the things I do just based on timing because he can't go to daycare. But you know, what really keeps me going is still getting to do my podcast, getting to still be in the clinic at times, all with the balance, of course, and him completely being the primary focus. But I keep showing up because I truly love it. And I'm so excited. You know, he's been doing great with his therapy. He's about to hit maintenance therapy at the beginning of the year, which is amazing. And we still have a year and a half to go of various therapies as long as things go well. But he'll be able to dramatically reduce all the hospital visits. And I'm very excited to get back to traveling and doing what I love, of course, keeping him in mind because though it was hard, we've had, you know, obviously our complete focus has been on making sure that he gets through this. But so far he has been responding well. But I just want you guys to understand as we close out 2022 in the last episode of the podcast that the reason I show up is because all of you. And truly it's because your kind words, knowing that this helps, giving you guys tangible tips that you can quickly implement into your dermatology practice makes me happy. I can only see so many pets, right? Especially right now as I'm at a reduced clinical schedule because of our son. I can only see so many pets. And I love being clinical. I love helping those pets, but I can only see so many pets. I get to indirectly help way more pets by helping you all be better dermatologists. You know, by implementing these things and getting this information out there and learning more myself as we keep practicing and keep getting new products, I get to help more pets. I get to stay passionate about, you know, what I love to do. And I get to dive into different ways to teach. I get to dive into mechanisms of different diagnostics and products. And, you know, derm's something that's always evolving because there are so many layers to what we do. So though I appreciate the kind words of everyone saying, thank you for showing up, I have to end this podcast saying thank you for showing up, by listening to the podcast, by supporting me through, you know, what was a very unexpected, difficult year, navigating everything with our son. But the good news is we get to end the year with him doing extremely well, acting like a completely crazy three-year-old boy. You'd never know that he's battling cancer. He's just done so well, and it's definitely been interesting being on the other side, you know, basically being a pet parent before my kid parent, and having to go through being a client, you know, with my patient, being my child. So it's been a crazy journey, one we didn't expect to go through, but one that will completely change us forever and definitely refuels us and redirects us to what is important, but also really solidifies that I love doing what I do because I have missed being able to do as much of it this year. So I really appreciate all of you that submitted these answers. I think it's a great wrap up to the year. Like I said, husband's here in spirit. Hopefully he'll be able to join next year when our kids are a little bit older and not quite as crazy. Maybe. But I just really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys so much for your support. I'm so looking forward to 2023, where hopefully I'll be getting back to traveling and doing more lectures. We're going to get back to having more guests on the podcast once our schedule kind of normalizes. And I just really look forward to continuing to bring you guys content that's fun and easy for you to implement. And all of this is possible because of you.